This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Right, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock bought a gift card yesterday. If you hadn't heard the story, Clemson football won the national championship. Government shutdown was going on. They went to the White House. There were no chefs, and so the president bought them a tremendous amount of fast food. So we had quite the conversation about fast food yesterday, and that led Brock to go out and buy a gift card at McDonald's. In the meantime, we also got in pretty deep yesterday to power ballads, thanks to the Gillette commercial some of the guitar from the one from 1989, and that led to some of this conversation about the power ballads from the 80s and early 90s. And so we've combined the two into one game show today where you will have a chance to win this gift card, and all you've got to do is beat me at recognizing power ballads. Now, you've got to come up with the name of the song and the band.
Oof. Can you do me a favor, though? Can you promise me, the audience, Miss Lydia back there, Mr. Howdy, Mr. Cuck, you promise me one thing?
That I won't swear?
Well, no.
I only did that once when Howdy got under my skin.
Not only that. Okay. But will you just promise us, like, you won't complain, like, that's not a ballad?
Oh, I might.
That was my one interjection. Yeah. That you can't question the validity.
But I don't trust
of,
you guys on that.
Well, that's too bad.
All right. You're going to ask
me. These are all songs that were, I didn't just choose them. Okay. I either found them on a list or I found them on a CD compilation that was like Monster Ballads
etc.
I'll trust you, but I reserve the right to complain afterwards.
I hate when you say I don't trust you guys.
You can't ask a zebra to take off his stripes, all right?
All right, so here
Mike
it goes.
Is going to complain about the parameters of the game.
Well, when the game is rigged, then somebody's got to complain about it, Howdy.
What if you win and then complain about it being rigged?
I may very well do that. I'm not above that, Lydia. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not above complaining about a game that I've won. All right, we've got four people on hold right now. If you want to be in this, there's still a line open, 206-421-3776. You got to bring a little knowledge. You got to bring some knowledge. You got to bring some confidence. And so how exactly are we doing this? So we're going to start with the first person, and we're going to compete.
Yes. So these first five or six right here get a chance to be one of the final two standing.
Okay.
So it's just sudden death here.
You just have to say your name as soon as you know the song.
And if they win, then they get to stay in. If they lose, you beat them. They're out. I think pretty simple.
All right. Sounds good. Brian is in Bellevue, and he's up first. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You understand how the game works?
I think so. I have to hear the song better on my cell phone than you do in the studio and say my name.
Question the validity of the game already. Let's go.
Wow.
Brian's
it's possible it's not even a power ballad. So who knows? This game is crazy talk.
When you know it, you blurt your name.
Brian. You understand, Brian, you have the same chance as any of the other callers, though, right?
That's fair, yeah. The game's rigged in your favor equally against
Brian's playing without elbows. He's like the UCL. He's got two UCLs.
He's got no
right
elbows.
Now.
All right, well, we could do this. How many songs do you guys have?
15? I have 15.
I can't do that with all six people. I was going to say we could go back and forth. Like, we each get one, have to name it, or in whatever clip Lydia has. That might help the factor that I have no
getting
cell
into some show record territory here.
Let's start playing. All right, Brian, you got to say your name as soon as you know the song. Lydia, go.
Did you
Mike. Winds of Change, Scorpions.
Correct.
Brian, get off my phone. Get out of here. Quit complaining about the rules. Get out of here.
Oh, can we just play a little more of that, please?
Still not sure that's a real power ballad. Not about love. It's about democracy.
Tore down a wall, Mike.
Is it called a love power ballad? No, it's not.
Power ballads are about.
Guess what? Things are powerful.
Can I tell you how
love?
Many times I sang this in my bathtub? Down on 9th Street in Puyallup, just rocking out. Lights off, even, I think. Just rocking out. Come on, bring it.
All right, that's it for this one. Dave is in Anacortes. Dave, are you ready? You understand the game?
Let's go.
All right, let's go.
The disco husband's holding the charm for you.
Oh, what's that, Dave?
Asia, heat of the moment.
There you go. Good job, Dave.
All right, let's go.
That's going back before my time, Dave. So good job. You got it.
Stay on, Davey.
I wouldn't have got that it was Asia. I knew it was heat of the moment. I wouldn't have gotten Asia. Good job.
Way to go, Dave.
All right, next up is James, who's in Everett. James, let's hear it. You ready? Do you understand the game?
I understand the game, but you have real speakers, and we've got...
Well, Dave beat me, James. Quit whining.
Wow, the guy before you.
Man, just Mike Salk's cronies calling in.
So the texters...
Complaining about parameters everywhere.
Texters are angry.
Why? Has Brock learned any Who songs yet?
No. He doesn't know one. Doesn't know one Who song.
Consider Rain... Would you consider Rain on Me possibly being the first power ballad?
You mean Rain or Me?
Yes, you're correct.
All right, well, hey, if you want to call in and start talking trash about speakers, let's see if we can get the names of the songs right, okay?
All right, good luck.
All right, Lydia, let's go.
Oh, I got it, James.
Yep.
That's Heart Alone.
Oh, woo!
Nice job.
See, speakers didn't matter. Come on.
Outside, there you go. James. Yeah, outside my comfort zone with Heart.
Yeah, we got two.
I don't even know that song. All right, let's try Scott, who is in Tumwater. Scott, here we go.
Let's roll. Let's go.
Sulk.
REO Speedwagon. Gosh, what's the name of the stupid song?
3 seconds.
3, 2, 1.
Sulk, REO Speedwagon, I'm going to keep on loving you.
Yes, ooh, correct.
Scott, great job.
Sorry,
man.
Scott, you're close.
Good effort. Good effort. Love how you don't make
that
excuses.
That mean your parameters, Mike. Yep.
Huh?
No. Some weren't ballads, some
not.
Were bands you didn't like.
These are supposed to be hair bands.
Oh, Heart didn't like them. Next.
Let's go with, I love Heart, but they're not a hair band. And REO Speedwagon is in
when
a completely different category.
Who said
they're
hair
power
bands?
Ballads. All right. Because it came from the talk about that monster ballads thing.
And they also have to be about love. Don't forget, they've got to be songs right. about love, too.
Dawn is in Linwood. Hi, Dawn. Do you understand the rules as confusing as they may be here? All right.
So confusing.
All right. Let's go, Lydia. Play another one. No more song. Love is on the Way by Saigon Kick.
Correct.
Woo!
I wouldn't have got that one.
Yeah, that's a tough have. One. Thank
that's
you,
right.
Don.
That
I
one's a little obscure, Don. I like the obscure.
Likes the comeback kid in this game.
Yeah, yes.
Well, you give me Saigon Kick. I told you yesterday. I like Saigon Kick. I just
oh,
never sure which one's
like.
Saigon Kick Woo! And which one's Hanoi Rock.
Okay, one more, and then we're going to get it down to the other
All right,
two.
So we have Dave, James, and is that it?
That's
just Dave
it
and
so
James?
Far. Yep.
Well, don't we need one more? Because we only had five. Right?
Yeah, we'll give one more caller a chance.
Okay, who's on line four, Kyle? Do we know? We can just ask them, I guess. Who's on line four? Who are you?
Oh, this is Scott from Tumwater Games.
Oh.
In Tumwater, we never give up.
Wait, didn't you lose already, Scott?
He did. He's out.
Oh, you're out. Sorry, we can't take Scott again. We've got Dave, we've got James, and someone's there on line one. John? All right, John is on line one. John, do you understand the rules of the game?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go.
Is that Europe Carry?
No.
No, close.
That is, oh my gosh. Saul, that is Finally Found the Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse?
No, incorrect, but half correct. Firehouse.
It's Firehouse. What song is that?
It's When I Look at You. Oh, look into your eyes.
When I look into your eyes.
Thank you, Johnny. That's a push. Appreciate it, bro. That's a push, but we do have two winners. We got our two winners. We went through six,
all right,
and we got our two winners.
And it was Firehouse.
Yeah,
I'm kind of confused Firehouse and Trickster, like a lot of people.
I think these two guys are going to be pretty good.
All right, Dave and James have the opportunity now to go back and forth. Let's start with Dave. Dave, you ready to compete? You won round one. You ready for round two?
Yeah, it's all if you like losing, it's all good, bro.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's go. Let play the music, Lydia. I know there's something in
the wake of your smile. Ooh. I like that song.
I know there's something in the wake of your
smile. I got nothing. You keep playing all you want.
I'm going to play a little more.
Okay. That love falls
apart, your little piece of heaven turns to dust.
Is this,
Listen to Your Heart.
What's that?
By Listen to Your Heart. Oh, no.
You got this.
Berlin.
Good guess. Rockset.
Rockset. Oh, man. All right.
Okay.
Well, Dave,
no
neither
points.
Of us got it.
No
so.
Points. All right.
All right. Dave, you can hang on. We'll try James. James is in Everett. James, here we go. Let's hear
Ooh,
it.
That's tough.
Sulk, Peter Cetera, something about love. I don't know. Peter Cetera's garbage. That's such garbage. I don't know what that is.
Incorrect.
I agree with garbage.
I don't know what it is. Do you James? Know that, James?
No, it's garbage.
That's not a power. That's soft rock.
I just love that if it doesn't, what something is that? You like or you what know, is it? It doesn't exist.
That's soft rock.
That's what Chicago, okay?
Oh, that, Chicago's Chicago. Peter Cetera singing.
Yes, worse. Chicago.
That's terrible. James, does that count?
Keep them both on.
Hold on, wait. I accidentally held. Yes. James, does that song count?
I think Chicago's horrible.
So do I. Come on.
All right, so 0-0. All right. Move on to the next round.
Next round. All right, we're running out of songs. Barter. Dave, back to Dave. Dave, here we go.
Right down the line, it's been you and me.
It's all.
Ooh, who said it? Who said it?
Dave had it. I'll give it to
Dave. Dave did have it. Who is it, Dave?
Journey.
Faithfully.
Right down the line.
Why you got to say it so limp like that? Are you not a Journey fan either?
Yeah.
Huh?
I love Journey.
Oh, good.
Didn't we have people sing Journey on this show?
We did.
Oh, were you on that list, Dave? Did you sing Journey?
No, I tried to call in, but I had to go back to work.
Hmm. All right, Dave. You've got you got the shot here. If James can't beat me here, you are the winner. You ready? Hang on there. Let's grab James for the last time
in
Everett.
Come on, James. Come on,
James.
All right,
Lydia, hit us with one. Let's go.
This precious time, when time is new.
What is that?
That's Cyndi Lauper.
Yes, go. Yes. No, you got this.
What?
But wait, song title?
That's lame.
You guys.
James, you don't want to win with that, right? You want a metal song, for God's sakes.
So bad.
Okay.
I'm sorry. These are all on power ballad
James,
CDs.
James, you will give you the
who?
Point.
How about Bring On the Heart?
My mom.
Leppard.
Exactly. How about some Winger? Play me some Don't Close Your Eyes by Kicks.
I'll play you only songs that
play
you know.
Play me Fly to the Angels by Slaughter.
I know that I will win this game.
Yeah.
Well, you're playing a different game. I showed up for a football game
you
and you're playing baseball.
You should know these songs that were made before you were born better than me.
Oh my gosh.
So does that mean Dave's our winner?
Well, James and I will take one more run at this.
Yeah. No, one more run. James, give James one more shot.
Maybe one. Let's try one by like Michael Jackson next time, or maybe Elvis. We'll see if you find the best 80s power ballad by somebody who doesn't sing power ballad.
Jam it in his face right
let's
now.
Let's go. Who bring do you got, Lydia? Let's go.
I already know he's just going to complain.
No,
I don't know,
bring
like,
it. I love it. I think you've nailed every one of these.
Good.
Huh?
Yes. If I tell you tonight, would you turn on the lights?
Ooh.
Sulk. Amanda by Boston.
Oh, yeah, but it's not good, right? So you hate it, so you don't want
Oh, James, you gave...
I call them hair metal, but that's good.
You're close enough. Yeah. It was a rock band.
James,
jeez.
He gave it a value.
Thanks, James.
Effort,
appreciate
brother.
It.
Thank you, bro.
I'd like to give you something for talking on my side there. I appreciate that. And Dave and Anacortes. Dave, you're the winner. Do you want to try to name one more just for fun? Do we have one more back there? Oh, it won't be against me. We'll just give it to you on your own. Here you go, Dave. Here's one more for you.
I'll be the one.
There's three what different artists. There's three different artists on that.
I have never heard that song.
Me either. What is that?
What that is?
We're just not going to say.
What was it?
It's mystery.
Who?
Brian Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting singing All for Love.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good one. I like
that. That's why.
I'd do anything for love, but I won't listen to that. Dave, you've won the $25 gift card. Congratulations.
Sweet.
You talked smack, and then you delivered. We're very impressed with you.
Thank you, David. Stay on the line, David. Thank you, my man. Enjoy your Big Mac.
There's David.
Man, that game is a great example of why we don't like music over here.
Seriously.
Like Kyle and I are just so out on all of this.
We needed somebody else, not the four of you guys, to create that list.
Wow, it's fascinating. Lydia knows her music inside and out. Thank you. She worked at a music station. Thank you. But let me just say that music is incredibly divisive.
Yeah, but...
Why is Bob Stelton quaking rage all the time? Why is Tom Wassel... Just throw it in people's face. How is music so divisive? Because you can't label it? Because you can't define it the way that you want to do it?
The text machine is pretty unanimous that most of those songs did not fall into the category.
Miss Lydia.
Well, take it up with the people who made those
Miss Lydia,
monster ballads.
Fair you. To do. We can
she
absolutely
was, she
do
was
that.
Tasked.
Yeah, I'm so glad I spent
ballads.
Hours of my life on this.
Thank you, Lydia. It made my morning, so I appreciate it.
All
way
right.
to go. Good job, Salk. You're pretty good at that.
Well,
as I figured you would.
Did okay.
Yeah,
thank
you. Did great.
All right, so the reason that we started talking about that yesterday was this Gillette commercial that came out a couple days ago. It's a minute and a half long, and yeah, I would say it's led to a little bit of controversy. Not the original Gillette commercial, which you may remember from 1989,
You've come so far.
Which has a bit of a power ballad vibe to it.
The most of who you are.
Peter Cetera could have sung this one. So that was from 1989, and then Gillette came out with a new commercial just within those last few days that has garnered all sorts of national attention because of the message it has to men.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men,
and small.
I'm strong.
I'm strong.
But some is not enough.
Somehow we treat each other, okay?
Because the boys watching today will be the men.
So I'll just be clear. I love this. I think it's incredibly well done. I think it's a brilliant message. I think that Gillette has done something that I really admire, and I love the message that they are setting there.
I thought it could have used a little more power ballad.
Obviously.
For me, I thought the music could have been a little stronger.
The music was a little too inspirational. Yes. It needed to be a little cheesy.
I don't need to remember the Titans. I need Motley Crue.
All that being said, it was torn apart yesterday, and it was interesting to hear and read and watch some of the criticisms that this garnered. And I got to be honest, Brock, after listening to the criticisms, they all seem to be criticizing something that this commercial wasn't about.
Criticism is what our society is about. Well, look at our text toy the last 10 days.
That may be
true. Look at that last game we just played. Criticism is exactly where we are
right
now.
Well, I was really surprised by a lot of it. I mean, some of the reactions, you know, felt as if people were being accused of something. Man, I felt like they very clearly state in there, some are doing this great. And for those who are doing it great, let's hold the other ones who aren't accountable, which to me is if you're a sports fan and you listen to this show, I hope you've heard that word often, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
If your issue with the ad is the call for accountability, then please stop on sports. Sports isn't for you. Don't go into a major league clubhouse. Don't go into, Brock, I'm going to assume an NFL locker room. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't step into an NHL dressing room. Because accountability is the name of the game to professional athletes. I don't know how many I've talked to, you've talked to, we've talked to. Brock, you were one, and I want to ask you about it here. And when you ask them about the players that mean the most, the coaches or managers that were the best, almost unanimously, the word they come back to is accountability.
No question about it. And you know, as you're saying that and talking about it, I can think about those great teammates and coaches that mastered in that trait or certainly wanted to. Right, I mean, at the top of the list is Peyton. Still doing it today. You know, I chatted with him a couple weeks ago, and you know, in the world that he's in today, and all the different things that he's doing, and you know, just kind of demanding the best out of you. It's a constant conversation I have with my kiddos now, especially a high schooler. You know, what does leadership look like? It's uncomfortable. You know, part of the other reason it's getting torched, Mike, it's uncomfortable to tell people how they should go about their way.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable to hold them accountable and say, you know, this is the way you should do it. It's uncomfortable to do that. And I did not surprise me at all to see this thing torn apart in every which direction.
But gosh, does it bum me out because some of the response, well, I'm being accused of bullying. No, you're not. No one is being specifically accused of bullying or sexual harassment or anything else. The ad simply recognizes that those things exist in our society. If you don't think they do, I don't know what to say, and that they're problematic, and that men specifically can do their part to help alleviate the problem, and that we as dads, we as parents can do something to help this next generation be even better.
Yes.
And that accountability and leadership are incredibly important in trying to create a society that is just a little bit better than it is right now.
You know, obviously we put our show together. I knew we were going to talk about this. I didn't know I'd have a conversation this early morning, though, that also speaks to it. And I asked my friend, it'd be okay if I share this? He said, absolutely. You know, a friend of mine that going through some health issues and otherwise, and met with his cardiologist. And he met with a few other specialists, and they were all nice. And then the cardiologist walked in, and it took 30 seconds for the cardiologist to say, you're fat, you need to lose 70 pounds. Like, well, that was nice. How about a hello? How are you? How you feeling?
Not right into it.
And oh, and then even further, go look outside the waiting room. Do I need to remind you what's in the waiting room? What's in the waiting room? They're all overweight. So do something about it. you know, and just holding him accountable to what he's got to do to move. People don't like that. They don't like to be told what to do, you know, and you know, I think that ad to some feels that way. It feels abrasive, and I'm going to criticize it. Don't tell me what to do, and don't tell me how to lead my – well, okay, as you said, then be careful about being on a team and play sports because that's a huge, huge part of it.
And some of the irony there is that many of those same people are huge fans of sports and sit and listen to sports radio like this show and plenty of others all the time and demand that level of accountability from their athletes.
It is the greatest strength of that crew in version 1.0. It was the greatest strength that Richard and Doug and Cam and those guys could call each other out. It was the greatest strength of them. It was the greatest strength of one of your favorite stories, Mike, I would contend, in 10 years of doing this that you talked about the most, that like hits you the hardest, was Ricardo Lockett, you know, and him talking about that group having to come together and just say, like, enough, all right, enough, we've got to bury that, we got to deal with this, we got to be accountable to one another and what's going on here. And then, you know, just the boomerang, the trampoline effect to go and run all the way to nearly a second Super Bowl title because of that. So yeah, to have that accountability, it's also what we're doing. You know, what we're going to be jumping into a little bit here is a station, a bunch of people in this building, you know, and partnering with Boys to Men to just try to do. I'm doing
coaching
it next
Boys
week.
Into Men. We're not going to partner with the band Boys to Men.
I am
coaching Boys into Men.
Next week, I'm having a conversation with a high school group of boys, just to, and gals for that matter. It's a high school group, and it's going to be one. And the leadership said, "I need you to talk about accountability,
right?
And what that has looked like and meant in your life. They just need some of that messaging because they don't get a lot of it.
Yeah."
So,
yeah, there's another conversation in here and saying, well, the ad is bad because it singles out men for no apparent reason. Well, here's the thing. I think the reason is that for a long time, these issues were considered issues for women. Sexual harassment is a women's issue. Sexual harassment is something that women deal with, and the women are the ones who are upset about it and need to stand up and stop it. And I think what the ad is saying is that over the last few years, maybe we're starting to recognize that while it may be something that affects women specifically, it's an everybody issue. And the new piece of the conversation is trying to bring men into it. If you want to resist the conversation, that's okay. You can resist it. But I don't think that it's nearly as accusatory and nearly as upsetting as some people are taking it to be. It's about accountability. It's about striving to be better as a society. It's about hoping that tomorrow will be better than today. I think that's a message that I would sure hope all of us could get behind. You mentioned coaching Boys into Men. Brock, we will talk more about them over the course of the next few months and into the whole next year. It's a really, really cool organization that's working with middle school and high school kids, boys specifically, to teach them the values of respect and what it means and hoping to help prevent domestic violence by talking to people before that cycle starts. So we will have a lot more on them. I did send out a link yesterday on the Twitter feed at the Mike Salk, the company or the organization rather, is called Coaching Boys into Men. All right. Coming up next, Brock, a guy who knows quite a bit about coaching young men. That would be Mike Hopkins, head coach at the UW for basketball, and he will talk to us in just a moment. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, this hour, Brock and Salk, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Mike Hopkins, head coach at UW, going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Lots of text messages coming in, plenty of them, most of them saying those aren't power ballots. I don't know what to say. I'm just reading the texts, and as usual, the texters and I are
they're angry.
Simpatico.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We're on the same page.
Oh, especially when they're angry texters.
Yeah, we're on the same page, generally, me and the texters here. We got a couple good, real good football questions to dig into at 9 o'clock, including something I heard on Danny David Moore yesterday that sure got my brain turning, and kind of curious where it'll take you as well, Brock. It's one of the most important things in sports that nobody seems to have an answer for. So we'll jump into that conversation at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, head coach at University of Washington, Mike Hopkins, taking a few minutes with us here in the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, Coach. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Are you a morning guy?
Am I a morning guy? Yeah. Today I'm not a morning guy. Usually I'm a morning guy.
What's up with today? How come not today?
Oh, geez. Kids trying to get to class in the morning, school, wife screaming in the house, love her to death, but a stressful morning.
All right. Well, all right. Thanks for carving out just about
blame,
10 minutes.
Just blame Via Doom. It's just Via Doom.
Yeah.
Coaches are real people with real lives and real families. You're supposed to be perfect. And above all that, Coach, come on. What's going on here? Hey, I want to talk a little bit about your team, and congratulations coming off the nice sweep on the road here this past week. And you know, there's a bunch of different places we could start. I'll start with a name that jumped off to me because he had a great game last week, and that was Nas Carter. And the word that was used afterwards by one of the broadcasters, I think it was on Fox Sports 1, was that he was bouncy. And I thought that was such a cool description. What does it mean to be bouncy as a college basketball player?
Bouncy is a 43 or 44-inch vertical jump. Bouncy is when you run, you look like you're a world-class triple jumper. And he's just an incredible athlete, and he explodes. He has a great mid-range jump shot, and it's unstoppable when he lifts or when he bounces. It's the shot that he's perfected, I think, from 15 feet in.
You know what I love? I love all of that, Mike, but I think what jumped out to me, especially after just a rugged Utah game, is that everybody contributed. That Jalen didn't shoot well didn't matter. He still had 11 rebounds. It doesn't really matter, you know, when the big fellas play, they kind of rotate in there. It doesn't really matter how many shots Matisse Thybulle gets. It really doesn't matter. There's just not this. Mike and I talk a lot, Salk here, about this credit game, right? This big old credit pie, and I want my slice of the credit. I want my slice of the credit. It sure feels from afar as I'm watching, Hop, that this crew seems to understand that pie is a lot better when everybody shares together.
Yeah, there's no question. It's something that we stress. It's the hardest thing. You know, I mean, coaches talk about playing together and believing in each other and one more pass and family. And all those things are great. And it's all, you know, everybody says the right thing. It's the hardest thing to do as a coach. But I think the great thing is when you know, we talk a lot about action with these guys and really believing in each other. And when we started trying to build this culture last year, you know, it takes time, and you start to see those guys starting to really believe in each other. And like what you were saying, Brock, Sam Timmons comes in for 11 minutes. He's got 7 rebounds, 4 blocks, and 2 steals. Like, just active defensively. Jalen Noel, who last year, you know, would really score, but he didn't really do a lot for others. This year it's 5 assists, 4 assists. Doesn't score in that one game. 11 rebounds. Everybody's contributing. Nas Carter, you don't have to run a play for him, and he just makes it happen. Offensive rebounding, 18 points. And David Crisp is starting they're starting to find him. And so you just start seeing, like you're saying, a lot of team play, a lot of believing in each other. And when you're a great team, the great teams I've been a part of, it's just a chemistry and a commitment and a sacrifice from all, but it's all about the W.
How important is it to have as many veterans as you have on this group?
Well, I think it's interesting because they're veterans in terms of years, but they're only a year and a half under us. And so the veteran part of it is, for us, it's legacy. You know, Matisse, David, Dom, well, what's your legacy going to be? And your legacy is about winning. And what are you going to be remembered for? And I think that's kind of given them a sense of pride, of urgency, of something to fight for. And so, you know, that maturity, I think, carries over quicker than the younger guys. But I still think that there's another level to go to with this team. Just trying to get better every day, but really proud of the guys so far.
Coach Hopkins joining us here on 710 ESPN Seattle. I'm not really sure how to ask this delicately, so I just say it. What's going on with the Pac-12?
Well, you know what? I was going through it, and I was in the East Coast for a long time, and now I've become I'm a West Coast guy in the sense of just want to fight for the league, want to represent the league, want to represent the West Coast in a great way, because I believe – I've been in the ACC, I've been in the Big East during the best years, and I believe we've got a great league. There's a lot of great coaches. We've got more pros in our league in the NBA right now per team than any other league in the United States. And so you've got the players, we've got the coaches, we've got some great programs. And, you know, I just think that right now we're under attack by what we've done. But my argument, even in the NCAA tournament last year, was we had 2 11 seeds and a 4 seed. If you look at the ACC had, I think, 8 teams or 9 teams. Every team that was an 8 seed or above lost in the first round. And Virginia lost in the first round. but nobody says anything. And the key to this, the NCAA tournament, is getting high seeding. Two 11 seeds, I mean, you could flip a coin, you know, on what's going to happen. I think when you look at our non-conference schedule, a lot of teams, Utah, played Nevada at home. They played at Kentucky. They played at Minnesota. They played a lot of tough teams. We were one of three teams that played three top 15 teams. And so I think our league, Arizona, played an incredible non-league conference. Arizona State doesn't do great in our league, but they beat Mississippi State. They beat Kansas. And so there was a lot of good for some reason. I'm not going to say East Coast bias. I'm just not. But it just seems like they just highlight all the bad, and they haven't looked at what the league was trying to do, was trying to play a tough schedule, trying to go out of its way. And, you know, a lot of times we've got to go out east to play these games. We don't get to play a lot of these games out west.
Yeah, trying to change the perception. And we talk about this a lot on the football side of it. It is hard to do, but perception is part of your deal. Right, you get voted in. Like you get voted into a playoff. You get voted into a tournament. Like, perception still matters.
And Brock, I think a big thing is you know what we do, and you know that's a long answer for me. But you got to win these games.
Yep.
You know, you got to win. I mean, the bottom line, that's just what it is. I just don't like when they say it's a headline on a major studio network saying the Big East has its worst, or the ACC has, or excuse me, the Pac-12 has its worst Power 5 December in the history of Power 5s, along with the Big East in small print.
Yep.
You know, where the Big East is going to probably get 5 or 6 teams, and they're just talking about us maybe squeezing in 2 or 3. You know, but it all comes down to winning. Perception's part of it, but it's something that our league has to do a better job of just promoting and letting the national media understand what we're trying to do.
Coach Hopkins here with us. A year ago you joined us and you told us a cool story about some stairs that you had the kids run out at the park, and how difficult, and just, you know, the drudgery and the demands that you put on them physically, right? That you wanted to with your culture, you know, kind of lay that foundation down right away. Is that still being laid, or have others taken some of that, or is it still, you know, was it still a process of making sure they're putting the work in?
You know what it is. We were struggling shooting the ball. Really poor. We were in the high 200s in terms of 3-point shooting. And during Christmas break, you know, we just started, we started having, you know, 3 40-minute shooting groups throughout the day, you know, outside of practice. The kids felt like we stole their Christmas, their holiday. But it's the work. It's you're constantly trying to do what? Raise the bar, raise the standard, especially when we're trying to implement a culture, a championship culture. And so that goes in all areas, and it's just a process. And so it's something that we've embraced, and you start seeing the effects. You know, we go out there, David Crist is shooting well, Matisse Leibels increases 3-point shooting, Nas Carter's increases 3-point shooting, and it's all about work. I mean, you were a great player. You were a part of great teams, and, you know, you start to see the effects of that, building that team and that one more, that extra pass, and I've got your back mentality, and you know, it takes time to build that strong culture, but you're constantly fighting for it. You're constantly building that. You know, it's funny, the way that we trained in the preseason, we got to that Colorado game late in the game, and you started to see the effects of the altitude. You know, I know we never mention it, but you start to see long minutes, Utah, Colorado, you see their faces, and then we put them in the huddle. I'm like, this is why you did all your work. You know, I said different words, but this is why you did your work. It's for these moments. We've got to be tougher. We've got to be mentally tough. We got to be together. And, you know, it wasn't pretty, but they found a way, and then we were gritty down the stretch, and we got the win.
No, we appreciate you cleaning up the language here for our radio audience at 8:40 in the morning. I know you're all exactly. I know you're all in on UW. I know that you're doing a great job here as the head coach. I sure hope you notice, though, what your former team, place that you were for a long time, did earlier this week at Duke. How about Syracuse winning at Duke when Duke was the number one team in the land? That's no joke.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I went to Australia once a long time ago as a player. I think it was 1990-91 with Rick Barnes, Big East All-Star team. And, you know, we saw kangaroos for the first time, and you could go up and pet them. They were, you know, incredible creatures. And And the park ranger basically said they're also one of the most dangerous animals because you put them in a corner and their legs are so strong they just rip something apart. And so the other night I was, you know, I've been around, you know, Jim Behan was my mentor and coached with him for many years. And I actually watched the game against Georgia Tech and they struggled and they didn't play well. And, you know, it happens. It's league play. Teams are playing above their potential. And I knew coming that Monday at Duke, after having a home loss like that, was going to be the kangaroo in the corner. And the kangaroo in the corner mentality. And, you know, been in that locker room many times behind the scenes after a loss like that, and I know how great programs and great coaches respond, and they did. Wow. And they went down there. And we had our practice, and that was the bummer about a 4 o'clock practice because it was a 7 o'clock game or a 6 o'clock game, whatever it was. I couldn't watch it, but going to my, I kept getting updates from one of our GAs, and you know, incredible win.
Yeah, cool. Did you play against Shane Heal when you were over there to Australia?
Shane Heal, no, I didn't play against Shane.
That's
no.
too bad.
Andrew Gaze.
Okay. Shane Heal was filthy, man. I love that
55.
Guy when I was a kid. That was my guy. At 55. Oh, my gosh.
55, Andrew Gaze.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we better look him up. We're going to Google him and get to work on this. Coach, I hope your day improves after,
grab a, cup
after
of coffee.
A tough morning.
You'll be great. It'll be
it
a great day.
Because I was able to talk to you guys.
Ah, there you go. Nice. That's sweet. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate
Thanks,
it. Up. Continue. Good luck. There you
Take
go.
Care, guys.
There's Coach Mike Hopkins there on the Venue Kings.
I got a new one, Kangaroo in the Corner.
Kangaroo in the Corner.
Yeah, you're going to hear that for years.
He's going to be in Good News, Bad News, No News. That. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Good News. Yeah! Bad News. No News. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
That was fun with Coach Hop. I like him, man. Every time we talk to him, I end up...
Yep.
Just excited.
Jen Cohen got that hire right.
Yeah. Is there anything Jen hasn't gotten right? Name something Jen Cohen has yet to get right.
No, she's not gotten Larry removed yet.
Well, I don't know that that's really her job.
It's
you want to hold her accountable
it's
for
on
that?
Her.
No.
If we're
going
to start holding people accountable, let's start with Jen Cohen. It's on her to get rid of Larry
she
Scott.
Is, man. Peterson, getting his new deal done. And Hop. Yep.
She has done.
And the women's basketball program is taking some steps forward.
Now, I hadn't seen this, but because we were talking with Coach Hop about the Syracuse upset over number one Duke.
Yeah.
Speaking of holding people accountable, what is the story here, Kyle?
Good news, bad news, no news. Jim Boeheim very clearly urinated in his pants during the game, and it's not the first time.
What do you mean it's not the first time?
Well, there's
2016
clear evidence.
I mean, you realize he is
ago,
70.
He
is 74.
I don't care.
Can we give the man some grace? He is 74.
And it's not like, man, he might have peed his pants. It's that's...
Do you think he cares?
No, absolutely not. He's a 74-year-old national
You think his kids and wife care? Yes. I bet you was really embarrassed.
You've got to care, right?
He said he was retiring like 3 times. He keeps coming back. He cares about nothing.
Fair point. What else in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Frank Clark says he finished last season with 2 torn UCLs in his elbows.
Really sad, before I get to that, is now how many hundreds of people are going to go Google Jim Boeheim peed his pants?
Of course.
It won't be hard to find.
I won't Google that. I don't
All you have to do is type in Jim Boeheim. It's the first suggestion that comes up.
Horrible. Frank Clark played the season after the Minnesota game with 2 torn up elbows. Well, that's bad news. That means he's probably got to figure out whether they can get fixed or not. I did have a friend of mine who played a season with a torn, UCL. And the doctor said to him, well, do you want to play this year or do you want to throw the ball to your kids down the road? He's like, well, we'll play this year. I can throw underhand down the road. Right? Because the scar tissue and everything else. So, ultimately, to me, that's bad news that he had to fight through those injuries.
To me, it's incredibly impressive. I'm not sure what kind of news it is. I mean, you could say this is good news because he was that good with torn elbows, but you know what? Everybody gets beat up.
It's also bad news he put it out there, right?
Right. Like, it's not for me. Yeah. It's not for me, but I'm not like critical of him. I just, when guys tell everybody that they were hurt, I don't know. Let the team do that. You don't need to do that.
Good news, bad news, no news.
On the day that Tate Martell transferred to Miami, Jim Harbaugh offered a scholarship to a 7th-grade quarterback.
Wait, Tate Martell...
He was the one that Sarkisian
yesterday
offered
did that?
When he was 14.
Is he right?
He
ended
now
up at Ohio
from
State.
Ohio State.
He and now he's going to go to Miami. Miami.
Yeah, because
well, let's
the
get Jake in here to
Georgia.
Hear about this.
He
originally committed to Texas A&M.
Yep.
Ended up at Ohio State.
Can we get Jake Heaps in to talk about this? This is really Jake's territory, don't you think?
It's Jake news.
Jake news.
Jake news. There we go. next.
Is Miami just where you end up? Like, if once you've transferred four times, you've got to end up at Miami. That's
Jake
the rule.
News next. All right.
I think good news, bad news.
We're gonna
no
see Jake
news.
In an hour, and if he's listening, he's really mad.
Nah, he's fine.
Former Seahawks practice squad quarterback Alex Magoo signed with the Jags.
Well, that's bad news to me, right? But you invested a year in him. He was a seventh-round pick. Well, what's a seventh-round pick? A seventh-round pick is Chris Carson.
And it's 10 guys on their practice squad. 9 of them were offered a futures contract. 1 was not. Alex Magoo. They didn't want Alex Magoo here. Yeah.
My understanding is they did. But I wonder if Magoo wanted to play and they wanted to give him an opportunity to maybe compete for something.
He ain't going to play.
Well, he wasn't going to hear, right? Absolutely.
He's not going to there.
He might. There's no reason he couldn't work himself and compete for something.
Did you see their QB position this year?
Jacksonville?
Horrible.
Yeah, I saw Alex Magoo play. Yes,
horrible.
He's horrible.
But Brock, your point earlier, I think, is a good one. That other than Russell Wilson, and by the way, that's a huge other than. I mean, like, that's an enormous what about. But other than that, they really have all the other quarterbacks they've identified have been problematic.
Yeah, what have they gotten right at that position? Where's been the young guy?
Starting with Charlie Whitehurst,
and you would love to
Matt
have seen,
Flynn.
You'd love to have seen a mid-rounder, right, played in the preseason that was groomed behind Russell that all of a sudden may even have value that somebody else would have wanted. They've not gotten any of that right.
No.
Brett Hundley, they invested a fifth-round pick in and felt like they had to do that. Why? Because Magoo wasn't good enough, as Kyle just said there. Trevon Boykin was... Well, he's a bad dude, and he's out of here, and you invested 2 years in him. They've just not gotten that position right behind Russell. It's too bad. Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Cam Newton could potentially miss the entire 2019 season because of a shoulder injury.
For now, it's no news because that's not exactly what David, what's the guy's name? What's the owner?
David Tepper.
David Tepper.
He said they're keeping their options open.
Yeah, they're keeping their options open. We're going to talk more about Cam here in a few minutes as we buzz around a few topics at 9 o'clock, but... Look, I want Cam to play. The league is better with Cam Newton playing.
Agreed.
I don't necessarily need him to play against the Seahawks next year.
Surprised Kyle didn't go to the Mike Leach story. Kyle, do we know whether or not that class is going to be offered online? Is there an opportunity for all of us to take
advantage? It'd be nice, like kind of a distant degree program.
Oh, it is?
Well, no, it'd be nice if it was. I don't think it is. But Pat Chun said he was all go. He wants to do it.
We're going
to
audit it. It's a course in insurgent warfare and football strategy.
Love it.
What did you say were the projects?
The two class assignments. One, come up with football plays for WSU to run against Houston in the season opener.
Okay. Awesome.
Two, create recommendations for U.S. policy in Yemen.
Sounds
more
perfect.
Challenging.
Is it? Which do you think you'd be better at?
Good question.
Does Titus have secret strategies for Yemen?
Why wasn't that in which is better?
Does Titus have secret strategies for Yemen? Like he has his secret plays?
He's got a detail.
How are those secret plays going, by the way?
Not bad.
Which is better, insurgent warfare or football strategy?
That's a great question. All right, coming up next, we got three interesting topics. But, Brock, I want to start with this one because I was listening to Danny David Moore yesterday, and I don't understand why more people don't think this is a big deal. It's next on Brock and Salk.